Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Nick, we've been hearing the word ban an awful lot lately.
We sure have.
Because the government is threatening to ban a wildly popular social media app.
You know, I've never been on it myself, Hannah.
I don't know if we should advertise that.
Well, it could be the beginning of the end for TikTok. Today, the House of Representatives passed a bill that could ban the popular app. Members of Congress on both sides of the aisle worry that TikTok poses a national security threat because it's owned by a company based in China. But TikTok...
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
To silence this large, massive voice is frankly un-American.
And every time I hear that word, ban, I think to myself, what would that even look like? How does something like that happen? Is the government even allowed to do it? And what are the different ways they could get it done?
So bans could be theoretically enacted by any number of government actors. So you could have Congress, through the legislative process, take statutory action. You could also have the executive branch take action, and that would be typically through the president issuing an executive order or an agency of the federal government, like the Environmental Protection Agency or the Federal Communications Commission or the Department of Transportation issuing a regulation. So you have legislation from Congress, executive orders, regulations from the executive branch, and then the third possibility is action by a judge, by a court.
All right. So in other words, you can ban stuff.
This is Civics 101. I'm Hannah McCarthy.
I'm Nick Capodice.
And today we are talking about how and why the government can ban something. And in this episode, because everyone's thinking it, I'm just saying it, we're going to be looking at TikTok. Oh, and that person who knows what he's talking about, that's Steve.
I'm Steve Balla, professor of political science and co-director of the Regulatory Studies Center at George Washington University in Washington, D.C.
We talked to Steve for an earlier version of this episode back in April of 2023, when, just like right now, lawmakers were accusing, without evidence, the Chinese government of collecting data via TikTok for some nefarious purpose, because TikTok is owned by a Chinese company. Now, last week, the House of Representatives passed a bill that aims to force TikTok to get sold from that Chinese company, ostensibly in the name of privacy and national security. And if they don't, the app could get banned in the U.S.
Okay, so now that we've established that bans can, in fact, occur, what does it actually mean? Like with TikTok, would I just like try to open the app and it wouldn't be there?
Well, Steve brought up China as an example, actually. Because many other apps that we use all the time are banned over there.
In the Chinese context, many of our social media apps are banned by the Chinese government. Like literally, Google is told, you know, if you're going to have this product available on the Chinese internet, you have to follow certain rules. Google says, well, we're not going to follow those rules. Well, then it's wiped off. If we think about it, even on the Chinese side, there are plenty of Chinese users of Facebook and Twitter. They, of course, will use VPNs and all of that. And there, of course, there are hundreds of millions of Chinese who don't scale the Great Firewall, but plenty do. And so you can imagine whatever the instrument might be that, you know, some entity of the United States government might use to ban a social media platform, that there's still going to be a lot of interest, if it's popular, among users to find a way to have access to it.
A VPN, by the way, is a virtual private network. It encrypts your internet use and basically disguises you online, including your location. So in the event of a ban, people could try to use one to access things banned in their location. So there are a few things the U.S. could do. And what congressional lawmakers are trying to do right now is force a sale of TikTok to a U.S. company. That is what the version of the TikTok ban bill that just passed in the House of Representatives demands. And if that doesn't happen, TikTok would be banned. This could mean it would be removed from app stores. No more downloads, no more updates. Eventually, the app just becomes really difficult to use and access. Also, they cannot force all Americans to delete TikTok from their phones, but the government can criminalize its usage.
But even though it's criminalized, people could still use it, albeit sneakily.
Life finds a way. In this case, via VPN.
And can we establish why this ban is hanging over TikTok's head right now?
Anytime you mention China in the current political environment, there's definitely a fear associated with the threat that China might pose militarily, economically, politically to the United States, to the Western world order, all of that. And so it's a really interesting tightrope for elected officials to walk between, on the one hand, a very popular platform, and on the other hand, the fact that it's, emanated from a country that many feel is the primary threat to the United States in its view of the world order. So it's a real balancing act for members of Congress.
So TikTok, being an app that's owned by a Chinese company, is seen as a threat?
Congress has pretty much insisted that TikTok is sharing user data with China. TikTok says it is not, that it has protocols in place to protect user data.
What allows the U.S. to take action like this, be it Congress or the executive branch or the judicial system?
Well, a ban is a business restriction, right? But it can't be arbitrary. It has to relate to regulation. And regulation sounds like a catch-all term, but actually, Steve says, it is highly specific.
A regulation is something that's actually defined in a statute called the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946 that defines what a regulation is. In government speak, there's like a specific definition of what a regulation is that separates it from any other instrument of policymaking. Regulations tend to have general impact. So that is, a regulation would generally limit a company's discretion to pollute in this way or to sell a product in that way. But a regulation generally has it's a general future applicability.
Okay, general future applicability. So, like, don't pollute, but we won't get too specific here.
Yeah, and then there comes the enforcement. Like, say Company X is polluting. Well, luckily we have this higher level rule that already took care of that possibility, so the government has the power to do something.
Enforcement action has to come out of some pre-existing authority. So just like when an agency writes a regulation, it has to have an underlying legislative authority. When an agency takes some kind of enforcement action, it has to be on the basis of some kind of higher level policymaking authority. It could be regulatory authority. It could be legislative authority, because there are cases where Congress writes a law specifically enough so that we know what our obligations are under the laws. What unites all of this is the enforcement actions that are taken have to have some prior general policymaking authority, either from regulation or legislation, right? Or some court decision. So the underlying authority could come from any of the three branches when we think about it.
And once you've got that legislation in place, something like a ban could follow or even be a part of that legislation?
So we could almost have a hierarchy here where you have a law that's the broadest statement of policy coming out of Congress, but leaves a lot unsaid. The authority then to say the next step of things is delegated to an agency. They write a regulation that's much more specific than the law, but still has very general applicability. And then once that regulation is in place, it needs to be enforced or implemented. And so if there's a regulation on the books that says a facility can't use this technology to emit pollution into the air, then that's the general statement. The ban or the enforcement action or the sanction is the action that is taken against a particular firm or a facility that's by virtue of inspection or something else found to be in violation of the regulation. And so, when I hear words like ban or sanction or enforcement, I tend to think of that's in, if we're nesting the dolls here, that's like, you know, legislation, regulation, and then enforcement, and bans and sanctions, penalties, fines. Those would all be manifestations of how a regulation would be applied in the context of a specific facility or firm or what have you.
Of course, that's not the only place rules, regulations, and even bans can come from. We'll have that after the break.
If someone told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it? No. But there is something to be said about leaping into the unknown. That's what our podcast, Outside In, is all about. It's a safer way to explore all the weird, wonderful, and uncomfortable questions you have about the natural world. Like, what's it like to decompose?
All of the germs and bacteria is saying, okay, baby, we gotta get rid of this person.
Or, why the hell do we have lawns?
Who the hell needs 5 acres of ornamental grass?
I'm Nate Hedgie, host of Outside In, a podcast where curiosity and the natural world collide. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's ridiculous, but it's always a wild journey. That's Outside/In from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You're listening to Civics 101, and we're talking about how something like a ban, say on your favorite social media app, can happen in the United States.
So, Hannah, I've got that regulation and restrictions and things like bans have many layers, with a hierarchy of rules and institutions establishing and enforcing them. But what about something like an executive order, when the president unilaterally says, this is just what's happening and it's happening now? Because those do pretty much just happen. Can the president simply just institute a ban?
If a bill doesn't pass in Congress? Technically, yes, he could. But that doesn't mean an executive order won't need justification.
Say it's an executive order that President Biden signs. I think immediately upon it being signed, some, you know, interested party that's hurt by the action will take legal action in the courts. And so then that it will start to wind its way through the judicial system. the exact legal nature that that dispute will take will be a function, of course, of what's the rationale that the administration uses to justify the ban and, you know, how that might be open to legal conflict.
Okay, and I also suppose there's the fact that executive orders don't have much staying power. Like, if TikTok were banned by an executive order, that same order could just be unwound, overturned by another president, or even the current one.
Bingo. Or by the courts. Former President Donald Trump actually signed an executive order in 2020 that would have banned TikTok if it weren't purchased by an American company. That order was challenged in a federal court and never took effect. Now, Trump, by the way, reversed his position on TikTok in mid-March 2024, this year. This could be an appeal to TikTok users in an election year. It could be related to Trump having just met with a billionaire conservative donor who was part owner of the app's parent company, or it could be some other reason. And by the way, it's not just an executive order regulation that could be challenged.
Oftentimes, if we talk about the context of agencies taking regulatory actions, it will be whether they have the authority in the first place to take that action. So years ago, decades ago, the FDA issued a regulation banning certain advertising and sales practices of cigarettes, especially in the vicinity of schools. And that was immediately met with a legal challenge that said, hey, irrespective of the underlying merits of, you know, protecting children from nicotine and its addictive properties or whatever, irrespective of all that, the FDA doesn't have the authority to enact that kind of regulation because Congress never gave it the authority. So in that case, the FDA, in justifying its authority, said, well, you know, they basically referenced their statute that, you know, Congress had legislated decades prior and said, on this broad charge in this decades-old statute, in effect, we have the authority to take this action.
So no matter who bans a social media app, there's a chance that ban will be challenged by whomever it affects.
And when you've got about 170 million users in the U.S., many of whom are young people who consume their news on the platform, create content as a business, and whom advertisers want to target through social media, the potential for being affected is high. Which brings me to one giant consideration in all of this. The government does care what people think, and it really cares about the economy. So while we're hearing all of this posturing as these bills about forcing TikTok to sell itself to an American tech company or even a straight-up ban are debated in the Capitol, some of it is, you know, just posturing, putting on a show. Because those lawmakers have other stakeholders, too.
And we live in a democracy, and of course, Congress, members of Congress are paying attention to, you know, what their constituents are asking for, what they're excited about, what they're fearful of. And so that might drive some of what happens in the policymaking arena. The other thing is we can think about business is maybe a particularly important constituency because so much of how politicians are evaluated depends on the performance of the economy.
Something that I found really revealing about this regulation conversation, Nick, is the Venn diagram of consideration going on when the government goes after a company. In the TikTok case, there's the perceived security threat, the generalized fear of Chinese influence. There's broadcasting to this other nation that we will literally ban their access to the American people. And then there are the American people. And where those two meet, that is where law, regulation, and yes, bans happen.
There is a process and a structure to a government actor taking an enforcement action against some company, but that doesn't mean that we still don't live in a democratic political system where officials are elected to enact particular agendas. And so that's certainly the case. So it's a real dichotomy in that on the one hand, you know, the this is a legal administrative process, and the enforcement actions really have to pay homage to the underlying law and administrative regulations. But on the other hand, this still is all occurring in a political system where actors have specific constituencies they're trying to satisfy. They have their own personal objectives. And so oftentimes the language of the law, statute, regulation can be used in a political way. And so I think we would like to really have a simple separation that there's politics over here, and then there's the administration of law and policy over here. In reality, those two things are totally interchangeable and impossible to separate. So even though there's underlying processes and authorities, they're certainly still subject to political impulses.
Speaking of politics, just one last thought here. TikTok is many things to many people, but importantly, the app has functioned as a tool for organizing around social justice and as a venue to talk about things that might be hard to talk about at home, especially among younger people. So when we talk about banning it, there's certainly something at stake here beyond viral dances. Oh, and by the way, this episode has been all about the federal government, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that states can do, and are doing, their own thing with social media. Say it with me, people. State and local government is where it happens. Pay attention. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. This episode was produced by me, Hannah McCarthy, with Nick Capodice. Christina Phillips is our senior producer, and Rebecca Lavoie is our executive producer. Music in this episode by Rhymed Clang Soundtracks, Dirk Deller, Kirk Osamayo, Anna Moya, Modern Monster, and Simon Mathewson. If you've got a question about civics, government, just generally want to know what on earth is going on around here, do not hesitate to reach out. You can submit your questions at civics101podcast.org. Either we'll try to find the answer or we'll find somebody who knows way better than us to answer it for you. Civics 101 is a production of NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.